Just turn with me quickly to the book of Numbers. And chapter 19. And Jehovah spoke to Moses from verse 1 and Aaron, saying, "This is the statute of the law which Jehovah hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they might bring thee a red heifer without blemish, where there is no defect, and upon which never came a yoke." The book of Psalms. The 22nd Psalm. To the chief musician upon Egel HaShohar, a psalm of David, or to the chief musician upon the hind of the morning. And the last verse, for time's sake, the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. And just a couple of words from verse 32. "And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox." And that's in relationship to Herod. But the verse that I want to read is really verse 34. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not." I just want to take a moment and say to your brethren, it was an absolute privilege for me to be with the saints in the UK. We heard much about the saints, but you truly would learn how to appreciate them when you spend time together. So I have to say, I'm not standing here this evening to bring greetings. I did that. But I have to say it was an absolute privilege to be with the saints here at Findochty, attending the conference. The brother reminded me earlier about the red heifer, and I just want to bring a few thoughts. Somehow to leave this place, not only thinking of godly sisters, wonderful as they are, not only thinking of our affections that need to go after Christ, but really to be occupied with the person of the Lord Jesus. And as he will go before us, thy presence go before us, these things that Brother Paul have reminded us, they will come to place, they will fall in place, as long as we take hold of the object of our affections. That when you go to the red heifer, it is something that was unique. It's not mentioned much in the scripture at all. But yet the Spirit of God highlights before us two things. And I don't want to go through the chapter. That's not the exercise. That's not what the Lord have occupied me with. But there is the thought of the red. There is the thought of the red. That I would like to suggest to you that one of the features of the red heifer, that it was distinguished. There is something that was unique about it. It really distinguished the person of the Lord Jesus. When he walked here in this scene, because I want to take the features of the red heifer just as the blessed person of the Lord Jesus in his life, just that verse only. Of course, there is going to be the death that will come into the picture. But he was so distinguished that when the Lord Jesus walked in this scene, people marveled from the gracious words that came out of his mouth. There was certain distinction, and Joseph was distinguished amongst his brethren, that his father made him a coat or a garment. So dear brethren, there is something that is unique about the Lord Jesus. He is fairer than all the sons of men. He is the red. Yes, the red will speak of humanity. The red will speak of that precious blood that God could say, even in the Old Testament, when I see the blood, there is something about the value of this blessed one that is seen to the heart of God and that is enjoyed in the hearts of the saints of God. Keep him unique and distinguished in our lives. And he was that wonderful expression that we all learn and we all know. No spot and no blemish. There was nothing from the outside of the Lord Jesus, and there was nothing from the inside of the Lord Jesus that was ever tainted with sin. He was the sinless one. You know, that combination, no blemish, no defection, is not always seen in the scripture together. It is seen here with the red heifer. And although the two words exactly, they don't come together, exactly they're not together, but we understand the same principle is seen in the glorious assembly that he will present her to himself. You know what it says there? No spot. As I said, the two words, you're not going to read it the same, but it says no spot, no wrinkle, but then he adds something. And nothing, or nothing else of that sort. And I would like to suggest nothing else of that sort might bring the combination that we are talking about, the red heifer, that you and I, dear saints of God, seen in Christ Jesus, we have heard about the word brethren, how it really relates of somebody or two that are coming from the same source. And how wonderful to see that what Christ is in his blessed manhood, the one who knew no sin, did no sin, in him there was no sin, that you and I will have that feature upon us in the coming day when the Lord Jesus will present himself, with you and I being part of this assembly, his bride, his wife, that you and I will bear his features as well. How wonderful it is, you reminded us of that eternal day when the saints of God will ever have the freshness of a bride. But I dare to say that you and I can enjoy the wife and can enjoy the bride even now. Because when we call for the Lord Jesus come, the scripture says, and the spirit and what? And the bride. When is the bride crying it? She's crying it right now. We start with the freshness and we'll enjoy it eternally. And dear brethren, there was no yoke upon this. There was nothing of man. Nothing of man that was injected in the manhood of the Lord Jesus. There was never a yoke. The Lord Jesus was never influenced with man. He never came to please man. And I think you and I have to learn that principle, that it is my need to do the will of him that sent me. That the Lord Jesus, when he came here, it was his pleasure. It was written of me in the volume of the book, I come to do thy will, O God. There was no yoke of men that will come upon him. But when you come to the Ejil HaShachar, the hind of the morning, it's a wonderful psalm, and we're not going to enter into it, but I want to enter into the title, that's all. Because we're talking about feminine features of the Lord Jesus. Brothers, let's accept it from now. Eternally, we're going to be the bride. So get used to feminine feature. True or false? Yes. And we're going to be the sons of God, eternally. And in both cases, it includes everyone. All of us. But the Lord Jesus, in his greatness, he has taken upon himself feminine features. Because he was doing everything in subjection to the will of God. And that's why we read about the red heifer. That's the feminine part of things. And when you come to the Psalm 22nd Psalm, it's the hind of the morning. It's the feminine of the deer family. But the only thing that I want to touch our hearts, I trust, that when you consider the theme of the hind of the morning in the scripture, it's a theme like no other animal, at least to me personally. The first time it is mentioned in the scripture in Genesis chapter 49, when Naphtali was being blessed, he says, Naphtali, thou art a hind let loose, which speaketh goodly words. And dear saints, when I read that verse, yes, we can apply it, and we learn tremendously about even Mary of Magdala. It is said so, and it's rightfully so. She came from Magdala. She came from Naphtali, and she was a hind that was let loose. But I want to speak about that title in relationship to the Lord Jesus. You know, there is a verse in the book of Acts chapter 2, and I think around verse 24, he says, "For God has raised him from the dead. For it was not possible," and he loosed him, now listen to the word, "and he loosed him from the pains of death, for it was not possible." It was not possible that death will take hold of him. It was not possible. But what did God do? He loosed him from the pain of death. He is the actual hind of the morning that went into death. But thank God, on the third day he was loosed. He was resurrected. He was raised. And he is the one that speaketh goodly words. And dear brethren, was there better words for us to hear even today? Go tell my brethren goodly words. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Goodly words. When he would look at a woman, at a man that needs help, "Go thy ways. Go thy way. Thy sins are forgiven." Goodly words. Dear saints of God, he is the red heifer. Have these wonderful qualities that are seen in a perfect man. But he is the hind of the morning that went into death. And God raised him from amongst the dead. And he was loosed from all the pains of death. For it was not possible to hold him. Death, the only time, now I would say it this way, the only time the king of terror was afraid when the Lord Jesus entered into his domain. We read in the book of Proverbs that saying, you know, as strong as death, love, as strong as death. But dear saints, when we read about this blessed one in New Testament, we understand that he was stronger than death. The second time the hind of the morning is recorded of Proverbs chapter 5. And when he was talking about the young man to enjoy the woman in the days of his youth, he says, "Let her be as the loving hind. Let her be as the loving hind." Again, another feature of the Lord Jesus. And if you want to talk and discuss the loving hind, dear brethren, go to the book of the Song of Songs. Go to Psalm 45 when the psalmist is declaring, "Thou art fairer than all the sons of men. What is thy beloved amongst any other beloved?" What is he? Well, let's come to the conclusion time's sake. He is altogether lovely as the loving hind. So the Lord Jesus is not only one who entered into the dominate death, dear saints, but he is the one who is altogether lovely. The other thing is attached to the hinds of the morning is in chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. It was a mean for the bride to make sure that the daughters of Jerusalem will charge by the hinds of the morning, by the hinds. And dear saints of God, we're talking about our families, we're talking about our assemblies, we're talking how we desire that our families will enter into the enjoyment of these wonderful things. So you and I, we have to hold fast upon the promises of God, because the mean of a promise in the book of Proverbs was in relationship to the hind. And for us, you and I, to be reminded afresh that all the promises of God in him are the yea, and in him are the amen. This is the hind of the morning, dear brethren. This is the one who will confirm every promise in the book is mine. You know why? Because he is the hind of the morning that God could promise, and all his promises are yea, and all his promises are the amen in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you consider a little further about the hind, you would read it about three times, I believe. In 2 Samuel 22, in Habakkuk chapter 3, and maybe Psalm 29. "He makes my feet as the hind and set them upon the high places. He is the hind of the morning. God has seated him at the highest peak of the universe. Sit at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And God tells us in the book of Ephesians, the Spirit of God, he has placed all things under his feet. So who has the highest place? Whose feet is in the highest place? Is none but the feet of the true one who is the hind of the morning. Because God will never give that place to anyone but his well-beloved son, who has really set him above, far, far above, far above all principalities and powers and dominions and authorities. Because that place belongs to the hind of the morning, that God will place him upon the high places. And the last thing, dear brethren, about the hind of the morning that will touch our hearts, that is in relationship to its calves, mentioned in Psalm 39, and probably you'll read about it in verse 1, mentioned twice in the Bible. It is the voice of the Lord that causes the hinds to bring the calves. And when you read a little bit about the hind, the calves look just like her as they are growing up. It is said, it is true 100%, that, dear brethren, God has every purpose to fill heaven with those that will bear his image. In Psalm 22, he has a seed. In Psalm 69, he has a seed. In Psalm 102, he's got a seed. But God, from the book of Genesis, he said, I want every fruit or every tree, every seed comes from its own origin. God will not accept anything less than a company to surround him for all eternity that will bear his image. He has a seed over here, dear brethren. He is the hind of the morning that's bringing the calves, that's bringing those that are conformed into the image of his son. And the scripture tells us we have this privilege to be conformed, not when God will do the work eternally, but you and I can be conformed into his image in the present time. Let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged. Because at the end of the day, for such a conference, that he is the red heifer, he is the hind of the morning, but he is the kind hen. These are all feminine features of the Lord Jesus, you know. Two in types and one, he said it himself. That's his own words, that he's the hen, as a hen. And that's why I read, go tell this fox. You know the natural feeling about a fox and a hen? Is absolutely what Herod has, or Satan, toward Christ Jesus. The foxes are those individuals that desire to go after the hen, to destroy, to take away. You know, the vineyards in the book of Song of Songs, they were destroyed by who? These little foxes. Little foxes. And that's what Christianity is falling into. We like these little things. They look so cute. Ah, okay, cute. Bring them in and see what they will do for your vineyard. See what they will do for the source of your joy. You know, we are living in a day that sin is little. It starts little. Sin never starts like big, humongous. A little leaven. The brother yesterday told us about these godly women that hid things. Remember, dear brethren, there's a woman that's hiding leaven in three measures. She's hiding it so that it will leaven the whole teaching of Christianity. Have you ever considered why three? Why three? Because every truth of Christianity is based on three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And she will desire to hide things that are of evil nature so that it will take away from this truth. The writings of Paul, the writings of Peter, the writings of John. This is why it is very important, dear saints of God, to take hold of the words of the Lord Jesus. Go tell this fox. And dear brethren, there is a way to face the enemy. There is a way to face the one that is creeping into our own meetings and we are feeling the weakness of it because of this fox that will desire to come into every local testimony and cause havoc. But brethren, we can go and tell that fox, and the way we can tell that fox is holding fast the scriptures and bringing it to the Lord Jesus, because after all, He is the true hen. And with the hen, I will close with these two words, dear brethren. With the hen, I would like to suggest it is His present ministry. With the heifer, it's the qualities that were seen in His life. In the hind, it is really His death and resurrection and exaltation. But in the hen, it speaks to me about the present service the Lord Jesus is doing on your behalf and mine. We talked about Him as the high priest. We talk about Hannah. The present ministry. How did this woman become so intelligent spiritually? You know what she did when you were reading? I would like to bring this because this is true intelligence, spiritual enlightenment that was given to a godly sister. She brought three bullocks. And brethren, never lose sight that all our resources are in divine persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when she slew the sacrifice, she did not slew the three, she slew one. Divine persons available for us. And for us to take hold of these resources, one of these bullocks have to be slain. And it was none other but the Lord Jesus. But He is not only the bullock, He's the hen. He's the tender hen. And what does a hen do to her chicks? Provides warmth. The first thought I want to bring, that the Lord Jesus will provide warmth to the saints of God. Wasn't our hearts burning within us? There is something that will warm the hearts of the people of God, dear saints. And one will say it time after time after time until we get it. You're not going to be able to warm the hearts of the saints. The only subject that will warm the hearts of the people of God is none other but the Lord Jesus. You know, when the Apostle Paul was concerned, not forsaking the assembling together as the custom of some is, when he was concerned about this, you know, you can, listen, you can stand and keep preaching it till the cows come home. But if the saints of God are not seeing Christ, that's why he says, but let us go into the holiest, unless the Lord Jesus warms the heart, unless the Lord Jesus will impress the heart, unless the Lord Jesus takes hold of the heart, we cannot do a thing. The only object and the only subject is really to provide the warmth that the real hen can provide for her own chicks. But dear brethren, I certainly believe in healing and recovery. Because when we think that things are impossible to men, what seems impossible to men is possible to God. Let's not put our God in a little box. Sometimes we put Him in a box and we forgot that He is sovereign. We forgot His ability. We forget what God can do. Don't put Him in a little box. I know that when the Lord Jesus shall come, as far as Malachi chapter 4, it says, but when the Son of Righteousness shall appear, what's there? There is healings under His wings. Dear saints, keep praying. I was so encouraged. I'm not a fan of having big numbers. I love big numbers, but I'm okay with it. But never give up. Keep praying for it. Keep praying for healing. Don't give up on it. Because after all, we should always have before us how to gain our brethren. But we never gain them on the expense of the truth of God. We never bring recovery on the expense of God. We bring recovery that is genuinely from God. And it's always bringing together grace and truth. Bringing together righteousness and peace. All these features have to be together. And you know what? When God can soften our hearts. Brethren, I'm going to say there is hope. I always like to give this story. And I will sit down. That when Esau wanted to go after Jacob. You know, it was said if the prodigal came back to the father. And the father was not alive. He would never been received. You know why? Because he's got a brother. You get it? Because he's got a brother, he would never been received. But dear brethren, there is hope. I always like the example of Esau, that the one who went after Jacob, and sometimes Satan will cause havoc amongst the people of God, and we go after one another. And we'll keep losing sight that our warfare is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness. It is not against the brethren. But you know, brethren, keep praying, because if Esau, the one who wanted to go after Jacob and kill him, right? That when the occasion was given for Esau to see him, he wept. He wept. His heart was completely softened toward Jacob. That the thought of going after him was transformed into weeping and hugging and kissing. Let's give the Lord Jesus, as being this wonderful hymn, the opportunity as we pray to him that he will intervene on our behalf. That he will warm our hearts. And also he will be the one who will bring the healing. And may it be so, dear brethren, for his name's sake. Amen.